A worrying sign for the U.S. economy, no matter how you look at it. Now that we're in the new year, how will things be looking for this year? After all, at a minimum, many employees fear what lies ahead for them in 2023. First, look at how many jobs were lost in the year 2022. Considering full 2022, employers announced plans to cut over 363,000 jobs, up 13% from the over 321,000 cuts announced in 2021. When it comes to what lies ahead for 2023, the outlook is rather gloomy. One in three companies anticipate laying off 30% or more of workforce this year, and 61% of business leaders say their organizations will likely have layoffs in 2023, and 70% of companies are likely to implement a hiring freeze this year. And these projections are not limited to just a few sources. This particular source has confirmed what we just said, additionally citing how U.S. layoffs have hit two-year high in January 2023, with experts predicting there will be more in store. U.S. layoffs hit two-year high in January 2023. Experts predict more in store. And these are other industries that have slashed their workforce. Topping the list would be the consumer sector in the U.S. economy that has slashed over 19,000 jobs in 2022. Retail followed suit by slashing 13,000 positions in January 2023. Financial firms also jumped ship and terminated over 10,000 jobs last month. One thing we haven't discussed in this program is why are layoffs happening in the first place. In terms of the technology sector, they have laid off workers due to an impending recession. Other factors noted to strengthen the functioning of their core structure. But then there is the overlooked fact that points to the fact that the U.S. economy will not be doing well, which will obviously involve layoffs. The Federal Reserve isn't the only one tightening credit. Commercial banks are tightening lending standards. Tighter regulatory constraints applied only to banks are one reason, but the bigger reason is the interest rates. The layoffs occur due to the high inflation and rising interest rates, the knock-on effect, the shrinkage of the consumer and corporate spending. With the Federal Reserve expected to continue on its rate hiking path to tame inflation, more layoffs are only implemented from U.S. companies. That does it for this section. Please let us know if it was helpful or not.
So far this year, 77,000 tech sector employees have been laid off. We checked that before we came on for this recording. Are these layoffs simply a long overdue realignment, as they like to call it, of the workforce of these companies? I mean, how can 200,000 layoffs, 200,000 of them, not affect the U.S. economy as a whole when that many people are taken out of the economy when it comes to spending, which means many less factory orders? That means less employees on the supply chains. I mean, can't forget the knock-on effect that's happening here. All of this contributes to an economy that's not going to have as much growth. If you disagree with us, send us your comments or questions. Unfortunately, we're fresh out of time. We do appreciate it. Of course, any critiques, we appreciate that even more. From Ikove Tahoe and the team, it's goodbye until the next Economic Divide.
insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran, by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. In this edition of the program, we'll try to have a look at the commentary of chapter Shu'ara, the 26th chapter of the Holy Quran. Dear listeners, let's listen to 168th to 172nd verses of this surah, chapter Ash-Shu'ara.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
Qala inni li'amalikum min al-qalin.
He said, indeed, I am toward your deed of those who detest it.
رَبِّ نَجِّنِي وَأَهْلِي مِمَّا يَعْمَلُونَ.
My Lord, save me and my family from the consequence of what they do.
فَنَجَّيْنَاهُ وَأَهْلَهُ أَجْمَعِينَ.
So we saved him and his family all.
إِلَّا عَجُوزًا فِي الْغَابِرِينَ.
Except an old woman among those who remained behind.
قَالَ إِنِّي لِعَمَلِكُمْ مِنَ الْقَالِينَ رَبِّ نَجِّنِي وَأَهْلِي مِمَّا يَعْمَلُونَ. He said, I do detest your doings. My Lord, deliver me and my family from the vice of what they do. فَنَجَّيْنَاهُ وَأَهْلَهُ أَجْمَعِينَ إِلَّا عَجُوزًا فِي الْغَابِرِينَ ثُمَّ دَمَّرْنَا الْآخَرِينَ. So we did deliver him and his family all, except an old woman who remained behind. Then we destroyed the others. So this is what the response of Prophet Lut was when they threatened him to expel him from their city. قَالَ إِنِّي لِعَمَلِكُمْ مِنَ الْقَالِينَ. He said that I do detest your doings. This Quranic word, قَالِينَ, is usually used for an intensive opposition and expression of anxiety, which comes from the depth of the soul. So this verse said, I do detest your doings, abhorring a bad thing, abhorring a deviation, a misdeed, should always be shown verbally and practically, both together. So, bare anxiety is not enough. So, we must always be thinking of being delivered from the center of mischief. However, by this verse, the Holy Quran implies that without heeding their threats, Prophet Lut continued his words that he abhorred their doings, namely he would go on his protests and they would do whatever they could, like banishing and expelling him, because he was not afraid of their threats in his struggle in the path of Allah against their indecencies. He continued what his responsibility as the Prophet of Allah was. So, the application of the Quranic word qaleen in the holy verse shows that another group of the believers also supported Lut, but by their intense protest, although at last those disobedient people dismissed them from the scene.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
word. In this series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
وتمثل القرآن في أخلاقه وفعاله فيه الفؤاد تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran. By Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
Dear listeners, the interesting point in this part of the verse, قَالَ إِنِّي لِعَمَلِكُمْ مِنَ الْقَالِينَ, is that Lut says he is the enemy of their doings. قَالَ إِنِّي لِعَمَلِكُمْ مِنَ الْقَالِينَ, I do detest your doings. That is, he had not any enmity with those people themselves. No, their deed was shameful. What they were doing was indecent. And if they left those actions, the Prophet would be a sincere friend of them. So, we should not oppose the man or woman doing the wrong action. We should always oppose, stand in opposition to that action. Finally, those admonitions and advice got no effect on these people. And finally, corruption had enveloped their entire society thoroughly. He had sufficiently completed the argument of the Almighty Allah, and Lut's mission had been fulfilled. He tried to guide the people, he tried to make them aware of what they were doing, but they threatened him that you will be banished, you will be expelled. Now, he must rescue those he can. And those who have believed in his call from this polluted region before the time when the fatal punishment of Allah comes to destroy those indecent people will be delivered. رَبِّ نَجِّنِي وَأَهْلِي مِمَّا يَعْمَلُونَ. So, he starts a supplication. He invokes Allah to deliver him and his family from the vice of what they were doing. My Lord, deliver me and my family from the vice of what they do. رَبِّ نَجِّنِي وَأَهْلِي مِمَّا يَعْمَلُونَ. We will, God willing, continue where we left off in this episode in the next episode. Thank you for staying with us, dear listeners. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.ir. Until the next program, take care.
Things always worked for me. Worry ends when faith begins.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
First methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Now let's listen to the speech of Sheikh Jafar Jafar.
I begin in the name of Allah, the most kind, the most merciful. It's due to that kindness and mercy that we have these opportunities where we gather in remembrance and glorification of Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. I pray that all of you are well, inshallah, and that you are healthy, and that you are enjoying the blessings of this holy month of Rajab, inshallah. You know, often in life there are existential questions, you know. And so the question, an existential question, is that why are there tests, you know? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides us with two gifts that will help us actualize into the person that He wants us to be. The first of these gifts are the intellect, right? This intellect, this aql. The second gift is divine guides, right? It is the Quran, the Prophet, and the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim afdalu salatu wassalam. When we talk about the imtihan of God, the tests of God, the two most important tests that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tries His creation with are whether or not they follow the intellect and the divine guides that He has provided. This understanding is very important, okay? Because of this understanding of the two gifts being the two tests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very important, because it also then helps us answer this question, you know, it helps us answer this question that we are told in traditions that believers are tested more than non-believers, right? The reason a believer endures more tests is because the believer has accepted both of these gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while the rest of creation has not accepted both of these gifts. You understand? We said these two gifts are the two biggest tests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The rest of creation has their intellect. That is their test. That is how they will be gauged, right? But we have accepted the intellect and the divine guides. Hence, we have double the test than everybody else. You understand? This is significant, right? And therefore, because of this added blessing that we have, it's a blessing, yeah? Don't ever consider it to be a burden. It's a blessing. But because of this blessing, we are held at a higher accountability by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so when we pass, we have passed two tests. Hence our reward will be doubled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because He can't test us more and then not reward us more. But if we fail, it's a double failure that we have, because we had been given these gifts and that we did not follow through with these gifts. Do you understand? So this is a very important answer to this question that sometimes does come into our minds, but to realize that this double test is not just about poverty, wealth, and all of these things. It's about how well We utilize and benefit from these two gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Now to the second question, right? That I don't go through, alhamdulillah, I can say alhamdulillah, that I don't go through that gift or that bala of these things that we've talked about that generally come into our minds, you know, when we talk about tests. But this is where a believer realizes that every moment of their life, they are being tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah? How well do I follow the sunnah of the Prophet? That is my test. Yeah? How well do I avoid that which I know to be haram? That is my test. Yeah? Do I look down when something inappropriate comes by? That is my test. Yeah? It's not just the test of death and poverty. No. Every moment of my existence is whether I am on Sirat al-Mustaqim or I am not on Sirat al-Mustaqim. You understand? And so the tests are all the time. Don't just look at these big things that we call tests to gauge whether or not we have iman. No. Every moment in our lives we are being tested to see how well we rise towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And depending on our personality, depending on the level of faith that we have, eventually after a certain period of time, it's not just about avoiding haram anymore. Yeah. Now the next test is, do I do the mustahab now? Yeah. Do I avoid the makruh now? Do I avoid shubahat and doubtful matters now? Because we want to rise in faith. Right? When you are in a class or you are in school and you are considered to be the top of your class, there is added responsibility being in the top of the class, isn't it? Your teacher expects more of you. When we rise in faith, and when we display our faith, and when we show our faith, God now expects a little bit more from us. And so we work towards these other areas to improve it. And so tests are happening at all times. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Muhammadin wa Ali Muhammad. That was just one reason why we are being tested, yeah? We don't have time to go through the rest, you know, I'll just list them for you. And one day, inshallah, we will talk about it. The second reason why Allah puts this and puts what is He expecting from us with these results is to prove our own results to us, right? It would be one thing, it would be something totally different, you know, like if we weren't tested and then God just says, Jannah. Or Jahannam. Imagine we'd be like, Jahannam, what happened? Right? Like, why? Here we have, God is testing us, right? And then when we come there, He says, these are your results. For us, not for His sake, right? Just like a teacher, right? Like if you're a madrasa teacher or a school teacher, by the semester end, you know which one of your kids are failing and passing, but you still give them a test, right? And then let that be a judge for itself. Allah is doing that. The third reason is that so we will remember Him more. And this is the reality, yeah? That if we weren't going through these hiccups every so often, we would tend to forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so He wants us to be connected to Him. The fourth reason is that it makes us averse to this world. This is like by far my favorite reason. Yeah, my favorite reason, and that makes so much sense. But I won't talk about it today because I'm doing a majlis on it next week at Masumin. So follow there, inshallah. Yeah? The Wafat majlis. But this is an amazing reason, yeah, to make us averse to this world. It's an amazing reason when you look at the philosophy behind it. And the last reason is because hardships and difficulties give us rank in the hereafter. Yeah. If we could understand everything and how it is affected in the hereafter, I am confident, you know, that we would, when we would die, we would wish we had more tests. Especially if we passed them, not if we failed them. You know, if we passed them, we would wish we had been tested more. Because the rank in daraja, the rank and daraja in akhirah, would be far greater than what we ever imagined. You know, there are certain places in akhirah we are told, in Jannah we are told, that one can only attain by going through hardships in life.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
روحي كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد صلي على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا
The limelight. The European Space Agency's Director General says the agency does not have the budgetary capacity or the political intention to send its astronauts to China's space station. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this issue. Please stay with us. China's Global Times has covered this story and tells us more. The year-long Russia-Ukraine conflict that has strengthened and expanded the US influence and pressure in Europe across several fronts, including space, which could be the main political factor behind Europe spiking a plan to visit the China space station, according to observers. Observers say after the head of the European Space Agency revealed that the agency will not send astronauts to China's Tiangong space station. The European Space Agency's Director General, Joseph Aschbacher, said in late January during an annual press briefing in Paris, France, that for the moment we have neither the budgetary nor the political, let's say, green light or intention to engage in a second space station, that is, participating on the Chinese space station. Space News website reported. China and the European Space Agency had been working for years towards a potential visit of European astronauts to China's Tiangong space station since the China Manned Space Agency and the European Space Agency signed an agreement back in 2015. For example, in August of 2017, the European Space Agency astronauts Samantha Cristoforetti and Matthias Maurer joined 16 Chinese astronauts for 9 days of sea survival training off the eastern Chinese coastal city of Yantai. In 2016, Chinese astronaut Ye Guangfu joined the European Space Agency's caving course in Sardinia to experience an extreme environment as part of a multicultural crew, according to the European Space Agency. China launched its first space station module in 2021 and completed the three-module outpost in late 2022. Officials from the China Manned Space Agency have said they have received interest in international astronauts flying to Tiangong Space Station. The European Space Agency's decision was a result of Europe being increasingly kidnapped by the United States amid the ongoing and prolonged Russia-Ukraine conflict, according to Song Zhongpin, a space watcher and television commentator who told the Global Times on Friday. Giving up cooperation with China in the manned space domain is clearly short-sighted, which reveals that the United States-led camp confrontation has led to a new space race. Wei Dongshu, another space observer, told the Global Times that The US-led sanctions and blockade against Russia's technology have directly impacted Europe's development of its own space capabilities. For example, the embargo on Russian engines has made it completely impossible for Europe to develop and manufacture its own launchers into space. The United States is applying a zero-sum game and increasing pressure to further rein in Europe and prevent Europe from cooperating with its imaginary competitors and members of the enemy camp, Wei Dongshu said. China will unwaveringly uphold openness and inclusiveness with its China space station and leave the friendly door open so that when Europe can understand that space-related cooperation with China, unlike that with the United States, has no political attachment, Song Zhongping emphasized. The website of Space News has also covered this story and tells us more. The European Space Agency's Director General says the agency does not have the budgetary capacity or the political intention to send its astronauts to China's space station. We're very busy supporting and ensuring our commitments and activities on the International Space Station, where we have a number of international partners working together. The European Space Agency's Director General, Josef Aschbacher, said in response to a question from Space News during an annual press briefing in Paris on Monday. For the moment, we have neither the budgetary nor the political, let's say, the green light or intention to engage in a second space station, that is, participating on the Chinese space station, Josef Aschbacher said. The European Space Agency and China had earlier been working towards a potential visit of European astronauts to China's Tiangong space station. European Space Agency astronauts Samantha Cristoforetti and Matthias Maurer participated in sea survival training with 16 Chinese counterparts off the coastal city of Yantai in China in 2017 and had been developing Chinese language skills. A year earlier, Chinese astronaut Ye Guangfu participated in the European Space Agency's cooperative adventure for valuing and exercising human behavior and performance skills, astronaut training course. The exchanges were part of plans to eventually see European astronauts fly to China's space station later in the 2020s. Those plans appear to have cooled down in recent years, without official updates on the status of the relationship. China launched its first space station module in 2021 and completed the three-module outpost in late 2022. Officials with China's Human Spaceflight Agency have said they have received interest in international astronauts flying to Tiangong space station. The European Space Agency and the China National Space Administration discussed plans in a video in April of 2021. The two agencies have recently cooperated at the level of ground station support for China's Chang'e 5 lunar sample return mission and communications test for the Mars Zhurong rover, have working groups in the field of Earth observation and an ESA-funded instrument which will fly on Chang'e 6. Josef Aschbacher did not address another question regarding potential European Space Agency involvement in China's planned International Lunar Research Station, a project the country established in collaboration with Russia. A European Space Agency official participated in a Chinese-led session at the International Astronautical Congress in September of 2022, focused on international cooperation prospects for China's lunar and deep space exploration activities. Russia was not mentioned during the event, hinting at the geopolitical complexities of international cooperation. China has been looking to expand its international space cooperation and diplomatic footprint, with cooperation noted as a major focus in the once-every-five-year white paper released in January of 2022. China last month said it would explore possibilities with an intergovernmental group formed by several countries. HKATG of Hong Kong, a commercial space firm with links to Huawei, earlier this month announced it had reached an agreement with Djibouti on the Horn of Africa to build 7 launch pads and testing facilities in Djibouti.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. We welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints, an introduction and analysis on the thoughts and speeches of the leader of the Islamic Ummah, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. I am Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi and Shaykh Rouhani. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Shaykh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
So, on different occasions and in different places, the leader of the Islamic Ummah, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, has tackled the issue of culture, especially in the Islamic sense of the world. How culture is defined and what type of culture we must be after in Muslim lands. First, let's talk about the leader's priorities regarding the definition of culture. Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi, let's start with you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, when the Supreme Leader talks about the culture, obviously he says that the culture is the beliefs of the people. It belongs to the, the daily routine that they have. It is all about what they do during the day, how they think, how they dress. And this is important that when we talk about the culture is basically something that portrays the picture of a society or a community. And therefore, we all are responsible towards this culture. Being a Muslim, as in regards to the Sharia, we are responsible towards the culture that we should have a safe culture, a culture that will take us towards the perfection. Because,
that's right.
You know, the main goal of creation of man, according to the Islamic teachings, is that Allah has created us to become perfect in this life.
Yes.
Therefore, the culture should be supportive to achieve that goal. And if it is not supportive, then okay. Wherever there is a difficulty, those people are responsible. It can be the officials in the government.
Yes.
It can be the fuqaha. It can be yes. Any person who yes. has a specific role in order to build this culture. And the most important part is the people.
Yes, that's all right. Okay, Sheikh Rouhani, the adaptability and adjustability of this culture in the Muslim lands with their national culture is also important. We know that we have so many lands that are, living under Islamic laws, but somehow their national identity and the national culture is different. How to adjust such a culture, together? I mean, these two important poles, the national culture and the Islamic culture together, in order to get into the ideal Islamic culture as defined by leader of the Islamic Ummah, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei.
Yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Culture is very basic, is very fundamental, because whatever we do in our lives, particularly when it comes to the social life, they are all actually are based on the values, on the principles, on the things that culturally we are dedicated in. That is why it seems that when it comes to the culture, we should have a kind of selective approach towards, for example, our own cultural values, and also, for example, the other cultural values that we can that we want to adopt. I mean that we try to get the best kind of cultural values or cultural kind of systems of life for our society, for our people. So, for example, if in our national culture or local kind of culture, if we have something, for example, some sort of values that is not that much suitable, not very much, for example, helpful and useful for our society.
Yes.
So, of course, we have to forget about that. We have to leave aside them.
Yes.
Or, for example, at the same time, Islam also did the same thing with the culture of Arabs.
Yes.
Actually, Islam removed and erased some of those, let's say, values which were not important, which were not useful and helpful for the people's life. So that's why we could have also the same kind of selective approach towards the cultural values.
That's right.
Yeah, this is one of the points that could be mentioned. And the other important point that is that our culture should make our society as an independent society. This is very much important. If a nation, if a group of people, for example, a society, if they are dependent culturally to the other cultures,
yes,
they automatically follow those people,
that's
those
right.
nation.
That's right.
This is the reason that nowadays Western civilization try to make all the nations across the globe mm-hmm. dependent to their own culture.
That's right.
Always by spreading their values and spreading their cultural values. Because once you became culturally dependent to a nation, to mm-hmm. a people, of course, then you will automatically follow them in all different affairs.
That's right.
So this is very much dangerous and actually horrifying, we can say, for a nation to lose their own, let's say, what we can say, independence in terms of
That's
culture.
Right. Yes. So again, the surface of the society might look Islamic, but in the deep layers of the society, you will see that the Western values, as Sheikh said, are being followed by the governors, by the officials, by the public people, you know, all across the world. But what are the main standards, of true Islamic culture, if we want to follow according to Islam and want to base our culture on that? What are they? For example, say, is it Tawheed? Is it Ma'ad? Is it Nabuwa? Is it Imama? What is it?
Well, obviously, when we talk about the Islamic culture, the monotheism is the main idea behind mm-hmm. it. We believe in one God and yes. we are monotheists. Therefore, in an Islamic culture, you should see people worshipping one God.
Yes.
That is the main thing. The second thing is we must rely on that God.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about the concept of tawakkul, especially like in the Quran, Allah has mentioned it. It means that we must rely on Allah, and there is no power other than Allah. He is the supreme power. And therefore, when talking about the Islamic culture, it is necessary to believing in one God, and then after that, believing in what He has sent for us.
Yes.
Obviously, He has sent 124,000 prophets
yes.
throughout the history. And after them, the last prophet brought a book which was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is Quran. Therefore, if we cannot see this in an Islamic culture, then that culture cannot be called an Islamic culture or the Islamic civilization. Therefore, it is necessary to believe in God. On the other hand, the difference between the Islamic teachings and the other cultures, for example, we have capitalism, there was socialism, communism,
yes.
you know, there are other ideologies are there. We have different cultures according to the, you know, the area, the
yes.
place they live.
Yes.
But the main difference of Islam with others is that Islam observes justice.
Yes.
Because one of the principles of Islam, which we believe as a Muslim, where we believe on monotheism, the second belief that we need to have is that Allah is just.
The Adala, the Adala, yes, our son,
the
that's
Adal.
Right. Okay.
And that's why justice is the main component or main element
mm-hmm.
which should be seen in the society
mm-hmm.
and on the basis of justice, because Allah will judge everyone on the Day of Judgment according to this element. Therefore, it must be seen in the society. And, you know, it has a vast meaning, this justice.
Yes.
It is
yes.
not just about, you know, dealing about or maybe judging two people or the actions of the people. It means that we must avoid extravagance.
Yes.
We must perform the things on time.
Yes.
We must use all our abilities to, to put forward in order to do a job. We must leave laziness, for example. Yes. We must apply this to all the aspects of the life.
Okay.
And on the other hand, we must implement this culture.
That's right.
We can say like the justice in the society so that everyone is doing the right job.
And I think the religion of Islam has always emphasized on these values.
Yes.
Because unfortunately in today's world, some people from the East have a look on the Western values, namely discipline, order, being on time, being just, being this, being that, okay? So the case is that the religion of Islam, more than 14 centuries ago, has brought all these values into the political and social cultural system of the lives of the Arab Peninsula and the whole world.
Yes, that is true. And the main difference is why we look at the West is because West has, forcefully have implemented, for example, discipline in the society.
Okay.
For example, I was reading an article in 2008, back in 2008, not now.
Yes.
How many years ago it will be?
It will be 12 and now 14.
14 years ago.
About 15 years ago.
I read one of the articles in the newspaper Metro.
Yes.
About London, that when you go out from your house to the supermarket at the end of the, your street to buy something, 50 cameras catch you.
Wow.
So this was written over there. Basically, what you see is we have the law and enforcement in the West. It is strong for the general public.
Yes.
As far as the basic rules or the laws you need to follow. And if you do not do that, you're fined. For example, in France, when we talk about the issue of hijab.
Yes.
They fine the person and they forbid the person from, coming out of your house.
Okay.
So the issue is different over there.
Yes.
It's not the culture that they have.
Mm-hmm.
It's something which has been, made by the
law.
Law. And there is a fine and consequences if you do not follow. So there's a physical, we can say, thing that you can see. And that's why people are forced to do that.
Okay.
In some countries, Asian countries, that if you buy a food in the restaurant and if you leave your food, you do not finish it, they fine you.
Mm-hmm.
There are different things.
Okay.
So basically, they're trying to make these things as a culture, which is good. We don't say like enforcing something from the government is bad thing. That is good.
Yes.
But it should be, it should go inside the people.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Islam, Islam talks about the beliefs.
Yes.
You should first believe in all these things.
That's right.
Once you believe, you practically do that and you start from yourself.
Okay. And based, Sheikh Rouhani, based on the Islamic culture, some beautiful concepts are applied. For example, giving charity, giving zakat, giving khums, okay, isn't it? Helping the poor during the month of Ramadan, holding some commemorations for our saints, our imams, okay? Or it's better to say, we can say it's holding some gatherings in order to be reminded of the most important and epic, I can call turning points of the history of Islam, to remind them and to refresh them in our minds. Really beautiful concepts are available in the Islamic culture. How to emphasize more on them and how to highlight them more in the daily lives of the people? How is it possible?
The most important thing that we should mention here is that according to the Islamic teachings and doctrines, first of all, you must change the, let's say, internal worldview of, for example, a person. I mean, we have two kind of worlds. One is internal world and then the other one is the external world.
Okay.
If you do not change, if you do not bring any change into the internal world, so of course then you cannot change the external world. So that's why the most important thing is the belief or the ideas that we follow or that we adopt in our life. So, of course, according to the Islam, these ideas or these beliefs, these points or these thought, we can say, theories, should be explained, should be clarified in a very rational and logical way.
Yes.
In a way that the people would be convinced, become convinced that, of course, this is a true idea. This is helpful, this is useful, so that's why I have to follow it. Then they will automatically follow.
Yes.
You cannot forcefully change culture of the people or the values that the people believe in.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Rouhani. and Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi for a nice elaboration regarding the concept of Islamic culture as addressed by the leader of the Islamic Ummah, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Viewpoints. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
You came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, accept Allah. يقولها لنا يوم القيامة أمتي أمتي يقولها شفاعة أنا لها أنا لها
Just listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 49 meters, 6,040 kHz, and in southern Africa via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kHz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents. for humanity. Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Brothers, sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the program for humanity. Once again, we try to dive into the holy book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran, and trying to extract the gems that Allah has placed in it. The gems that if we garment ourselves with, it should beautify us in the eyes of Allah and in the eyes of the people. There are gems that Allah wants me to wear and garment myself with. And among these gems is taqwa. We have been discussing this in a number of episodes now, and we would like to continue due to the importance of taqwa. But we try to relate taqwa to human rights. The verse in the Quran in chapter 5, verse 8, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ لِلَّهِ شُهَدَاءَ بِالْقِسْطِ وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنْآنَ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَنْ لَا تَعْدُلُوا أَعْدُلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. O believers, stand firm for Allah and bear true testimony. Do not let the hatred of people lead you to injustice. Be just, that is closer to the righteousness, and be mindful of Allah. Surely Allah is all aware of what you do. This verse in Surah Al-Ma'idah highlights the importance of impartiality in the pursuit of justice. It teaches me, it encourages me to be objective and impartial when making a decision that affects the rights of other people. Because the ayah says, shuhada bil qist, that you give your testimony truly. Because when it comes to giving testimony and witnessing, that sometimes a lot of things come in my way trying to prevent me from giving the right witness and the right testimony. Why? Sometimes I'm fearful for my own benefits. If I say the truth, this person might harm me, might take my wealth, or might not give me what I hope that he would give me. So I'm constantly fearing for my own benefit. And in this case, I say, you know what? Nah, I'll just say I didn't see nothing, I heard nothing, and I let it go. And this way what happens is that I'm safe. I don't care about other people, but the other person gets harmed in between. Allah says, if you were a muttaqi, if you had the garment of taqwa, if you had the jewel of taqwa on you, then you would have known, no, I would rather put myself in harm's way just to see justice being applied. So this verse encourages the individuals, encourages me, you, to be objective and impartial when making such decisions that affects the life of other people. This impartiality helps to ensure that everyone is treated fairly, equitably, regardless of the background and the circumstances, because taqwa means I only care about Allah. I only fear Allah. I'm only mindful of Allah, and I want to do whatever that is pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us take a short break and then we will come back.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at English Radio, at irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. We were looking at the verse from chapter Al-Ma'idah, verse 8.